Wherefore, he that thinketh himself to stand, let him take heed lest he fall. St. Paul is speaking in this chapter of his epistle to the Corinthians concerning the Hebrews in the desert. They're there with Moses. They left the Egyptians and they went into the desert. He begins the chapter telling about the good things that they had. That while in the desert, they were under the cloud. As our Lord traveled with them by a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. And they had manna from heaven. God provided for them all the things that they needed. Manna fell from heaven. A rock followed them, pouring forth water so that they could drink in the desert. Truly, they had all of their physical needs fulfilled. As this cloud was God with them, his presence on earth. They had all these things which St. Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant. For even though God himself was with them, they began to sin. They began to turn back. They began to look back and say how much better it was had they been in Egypt. How much better it would have been had they died with the flesh pots. They used the pots to cook their meat. And then begins our epistle today. Let us not covet as they coveted. One easily sees the resemblance to our own situation today. We don't labor and toil like we used to for our daily bread. We just go to the grocery store and buy whatever we need. Everything is very simple. And yet, we are still in an exile, as the Hebrews were looking for the promised land. We know this veil of tears isn't our true home. And we have all the things necessary for our physical being. All things are provided for. God knows, and you are worth more than many sparrows. All the hairs of your head are numbered. And even in our first world poverty, anyone that's in somewhat of poverty, no one is literally starving. More importantly, we have all been baptized. We all have the faith. We all have the state of conscious position. We all have come to this. And that's a grace from God. He's provided it for us. And ultimately, we have God's presence here with us and we can receive him in Holy Communion. St. Paul points out to us this warning. So why do we fall? Well, why did they? They had all the physical cares provided for, and then they began to turn back to Egypt, looking at how good they had it there when they were in slavery. And this is what we do. We always want something more. Because when our physical cares are provided for, then our passions begin to take over. So we have a fallen human nature, a nature that is inclined to sin. Let him that thinketh himself to stand take heed. We have a sufficient warning, but we need to be observing ourselves in the spiritual realm. We know our physical needs, but do we know our spiritual needs? We need to keep that focus. How is my soul doing? What are my habits? We know our physical needs. Our stomach growls, our muscles ache, but what about our spiritual ones? Do we see the state of our soul? Our temple, as we are temples of the Holy Ghost. Do we keep it clean and unprofaned? Or if our Lord were to see it now, would he weep? Something we have to be very ready to correct in ourselves. Do we seek to drive out those idols, the money changers, those passions which seek to profane our temple, our habits, our bad habits? Are we really trying to overcome them? Are we simply thinking of the pleasures of the world that we could have, since our physical needs are cared for? These passions are selling our souls for a mere passing pleasure. It's important to remark that before our Lord cast out the money changers from the temple, he made a little scourge. Little. So that it is easily wielded. When we begin in spiritual life, we begin very zealously. We want to do very great things. So we go out and we think we're going to do great penances, extreme penances. It's better to begin small. So they say, do little things, little by little, we get to heaven. So that we may continue to perform these penances and sacrifice. Don't try to do the harshest penance you can think of. Do one you can continue to do until your passions are eradicated. And persevering as well, it's important to take this consolation even more than that, this assurance. God will never try us beyond what we're able to overcome. God loves us. He knows us perfectly. As I said, the hairs of our head are numbered. He knows our very chemical makeup. But he trusts you because you will be tried. Not beyond what you're able, but you will be tried. So it's important for us to make that effort to seek God's grace. He knows how much you need that grace, and so he provides it for you every day. Every day we have to be on the lookout for God's grace. How are we going to overcome our fallen human nature? How are we going to overcome the temptations of the world, the allurements of our passions, to turn back to Egypt, to turn away from the standard that we know we should be living, the standard of the faith? He knows that you should take heed lest you fall. Take heed of where his grace lies for you in your day. Be ready. Look forward to your day. Who am I going to have to deal with again? That I know that gets on my nerves, that gives me opportunity to merit, if I would but suffer it, if I would but unite it with Christ's cross. He knows that you should take heed of how to cooperate with his grace, how to attain it, how to attain salvation. God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will make also with temptation issue that you may be able to bear it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.